Hello, I'm Ryan Felsman with a look at the week ahead here in Australia. And due to a strange quirk of the statistical calendar, we usher in a barrage of new economic data as the seasons change. We get the winter whirlwind for the beginning of June with around a dozen surveys or data releases scheduled over the coming week. The week kicks off on Monday with manufacturing surveys from the AI Group and Commonwealth Bank. Manufacturing activity is contracting by the fastest pace on record, due to the COVID-19 economic lockdown and also social distancing restrictions, which is impacting demand. The Melbourne Institute Inflation Gauge is also released, and CoreLogic's National Home Price Index is tipped to fall by around 0.5% in May. On Super Tuesday, as it's being billed, the Bureau of Statistics issues the Business Indicators publication, which includes data on profits, sales, wages and stocks. The quarterly balance of payments figures are also released together with government finance for the March quarter. And then in terms of weekly data, the Commonwealth Bank's credit and debit card spending information, along with weekly consumer sentiment data from ANZ and Roy Morgan, are also released. Our forecasts for company profits are for a lift of 2% in the March quarter, business inventories to be up by 0.7%, and current account surpluses to continue at $5.6 billion. The Reserve Bank Board meeting also takes place on Tuesday. We think the official cash rate target and the three-year Commonwealth government bond yield target will both remain at 0.25%. On Wednesday, attention then turns to the release of the March quarter economic growth or GDP target. The reading's likely to have a significant bearing on whether Australia suffers a technical recession. Our view is Australia's already in recession, given that 600,000 people lost their jobs, unfortunately, in the month of April. Now, Commonwealth Bank Group economists so far are forecasting that the economy contracted by between 0 and 0.5% in the March quarter. Of course, that's subject to those partial quarterly releases at the beginning of the week. Prior to the release, Reserve Bank Assistant Governor Michelle Bullock speaks at an online event around the pandemic and payments preferences. Also on Wednesday, CBA releases the final May survey on services activity. Building approvals for April expected to fall by 15%. And we also get an update on new vehicle sales. They fell by 48.5% in the last reading. The AI Group Performance of Construction Index is also due. And of course, all this data will be severely impacted by the pandemic lockdown, particularly during the April and March months. On Thursday, the April figures on exports and imports are released, with a trade surplus of around $7.5 billion tipped by CBA Group economists. The final reading on retail trade is also issued. We're expecting to see retail trade down by a record 17.6% in the final estimate for April. And then on Friday, the AI Group's Performance of Services Index is issued for May, with a contraction in activity expected. Now, turning our attention to overseas, it's a busy week in the United States. All eyes will be on the jobs report. Non-farm payrolls will be a key focus on Friday. China's international trade figures are scheduled for Sunday. And of course, investors will be scouring that information for evidence of a rebound in demand. The week begins on Monday with readings on the manufacturing sector in both the United States and China. In the US, there are May surveys from both Market and the Institute of Supply Management. And in China, there is a survey from the private sector Caixin Group. Manufacturing activity is contracting across the globe due to the virus shutdowns, but we're expecting to see a slight improvement in those readings. The ISM Manufacturing Index in the US is expected to lift from 41.5 to 43.3, and the Caixin Manufacturing Index in China is expected to lift from 49.4 to 49.8, but still contracting, as I said. Also on Monday in the United States is data on construction spending. Economists are forecasting a decline of around 5% in April. And then on Tuesday in the United States, motor vehicle sales data is issued by Wards together with the ISM New York Index and the Johnson Redbook weekly chain store sales figures. On Wednesday, the focus shifts to surveys on the services sector. Again, we get updates from Market and ISM in the United States. And of course, China's private sector Caixin also provides its services update at the same time. We're expecting to see the Caixin Services Index up from 44.4 to 48.6, but still contracting during that period. And also the US ISM Non-Manufacturing Index to improve slightly from 41.8 to 44.7 points. Then on Wednesday, We also get updates in the United States on the ADP survey of private sector payrolls for May. We're expecting to see payrolls down by a further 9 million during the month of May. That follows a 20.236 million decline in April. And then we will get an update on factory orders, which are expected to fall by around 15% for the month of April. We also will get an update on mortgage applications from the Mortgage Bankers Association. And then on Thursday in the United States, international trade data is released. The trade deficit is expected to contract by around $2 billion to $42 billion in April. And then on Thursday, we get final estimates of unit labour costs and productivity for the March quarter. The Challenger survey of job cuts and the weekly data on initial jobless claims will be a key focus for investors. And then on Friday, the ill-important non-farm payrolls data is released for the month of May. At this stage, we're expecting payrolls to fall by 8 million, with the unemployment rate lifting from 14.7% to 19.7%. Hard to believe, of course, given that the unemployment rate was at 50-year lows of just 3.5% just a few months ago. And then in China on Sunday, international trade data is due for May. Weak external demand, fewer working days in the month, and a high base 12 months ago all pose headwinds to export growth.